So this is Wednesday, March the 21st, 2018, fatherheart.tv regular webcast, and you've got John McDonald from Scotland and Mark Jide from England and Barry Adams from Canada, and we're together and we're going to be talking about our journey to love. And so I'm just going to pass it over to John, and he'll just open in prayer, then Mark's going to give the intro, and we will see where we go.
Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you have each of us on a journey. And we might take different steps, but we're all headed in the same direction. And Father, we want to encourage one another. We want to take one another's hand as we walk in this path of love. And Father, I just pray tonight that from the comments, from those of us speaking and sharing, that there would be words and pearls that would touch each of our hearts, that would encourage us in our own journey and our own feelings of not quite sure which direction to put the next footstep. But Father, that we would ultimately realize that our hand is in your hand, and you won't let us put our foot astray. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your providence. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, for your generosity and for your tenderness. Thank you, Papa. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, John. Well, I guess I was trying to find a sort of positive title for the webcast this evening, and I came up with Our Journey to Love. The title I had before I came up with The Journey to Love was The Wilderness Voice, which I didn't think sounded so encouraging. And then another title I came up with was How Do We Cope When We Feel on Our Own? And I didn't think that sounded very encouraging either. So I ended up with this title of, you know, Our Journey to Father's Love, Our Journey to Love, because one of the things I kind of feel as I travel around a bit, and I know John will find this as well, and I know Barry will as well, is just traveling around, and, you know, when you do a Father Heart conference or a Father Heart event, we tend to gather people from across, you know, a fairly wide area, maybe in one country or whatever. When we do a school, it attracts people. But one of the things people often say to us is, you know, this is a very lonely journey. It's a very lonely walk. You know, it's like there's no friends around. There's no people who speak the same language. And, you know, people quite often in our churches look at us as if we've got two heads. And, you know, they don't quite understand what planet we're on. And sometimes we don't know what planet we're on. And, you know, it's a very, very common thing that I know I hear is this is, this journey is lonely. And there's a weariness, that comes from being alone, or, there's a weariness that comes from being a lone voice. And so I just really wanted us to sort of talk about that this evening, because I guess if we took a sort of a poll of you guys, I think many of you would identify with that you feel like you're on your own, you're carrying this on your own. And, maybe for many people, the webcast these Wednesday evenings is a source of life and a source of connection, where we actually come together and we talk the same language and our hearts are fed, and, you know, we feel very encouraged at the end of it. And there's a tremendous sense that a family, as John was saying, as we've been doing this webcast, and there's a tremendous sense of relationship. But at the end of the day, you know, there's only so much can happen, you know, online and in this sort of interaction. And many of us, I think, have this sense of just being on a path on our own. And maybe even there's criticism or judgment or rejection that comes when we're not fully understood. And, you know, sometimes it feels like, if you're like me, sometimes it feels like this revelation that is so precious to us and means so much to us and has changed our lives so much. It's almost like this revelation is a pearl before a swine, as Jesus talks about. And, you know, the joy and the delight that we feel is brushed off. And that can be very disheartening. It can be very discouraging, and it leaves us feeling lonely, you know, on our own. And, you know, I really just hope this evening we can just talk about this together. And I know John and I know Barry are going to have a lot of wisdom and practical help to add into this. because I think it's something that we're actually, all three of us, are very familiar with and have experienced. And I really want this to be practical so we can encourage one another. The other thing I've been doing recently, I've been reading through the story of Elijah. And, you know, Elijah is up against all the prophets of Baal. And, you know, he goes up onto Mount Carmel. He has this great demonstration of God's power. And, you know, the fire turns up and the prophets of Baal just can't do anything, you know, and it just fails. But, you know, God shows up in an instant and the fire comes. And then after that great moment of, you know, the presence of God being with him, Elijah goes into a pity party, you know, like we do so often. It's like, I'm the only one left. Nobody loves me. You know, everybody hates me. I'm all on my own. And, you know, he wallows in this self-pity. And, you know, at the beginning of that story, we read how Obadiah comes to Elijah and says, I've hidden 100 prophets. So Elijah thinks he's all on his own, but actually there's 100 other people that Obadiah's hidden away. And then at the end of the story, you know, he has another pity party when he comes up against Jezebel. And again, he says, I'm on my own. There's no one left. There's only me. And, you know, I guess we all identify with that. And then at the end of the story there, at the end of 1 Kings, God says to him, he says, but Elijah, you're not on your own. There are 7,000 people who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And, you know, I think that must have done Elijah's heart a lot of good, that he thought, I'm not on my own. It's okay. And, you know, I was just reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 1 where Moses says to the people, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. The Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you as he did in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness. And there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries a son. And, you know, I guess, if you like, that's the place where I want us to get to this evening, where we know that we're a child being carried by our father, that we're a son or daughter being held in our father's arms. But for many of us, I believe this is a real struggle of just feeling the weariness of being alone. And, you know, how do we cope with that? How do we handle that? How do we try and keep in this river of revelation? And obviously this webcast is great. We've got this connection across the world. We've got this sense of family. So, you know, that's kind of what I've been juggling around over the last few weeks. And, just want to sort of throw it out there this evening. And obviously you guys, feel free to contribute by typing things in the chat. We'll try and pick up on that if we can. But John, Barry, do you want to, you know, do you identify with this struggle? How do we walk through it?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Mark. I'm teasing. Yeah, it is. A little bit less so now for me, because we have got some people around here in Scotland, but initially it was like, I had no one to talk to unless I could phone you or, you know, but sometimes you, Yeah, I think someone once said, you know, talked about God with skin on. And sometimes it's what you need, you know. I think part of being made in his image is that God is a social being.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about us and we, the Trinity, and he has these angels in heaven who serve him. And so he's a social being. And if we're created in his image, we're created to be social beings as well. I really believe that. And when you don't have that connection or kind of kindred spirits around you, it can be quite demoralizing, which I guess is what Elijah felt, because he didn't see any friends. All he had were all these enemies. Okay, he managed to wipe some of them out, but then there was a really powerful enemy in Jezebel, breathing fire and brimstone, threatening to kill him, and he had no friends to encourage him or comfort him or just say, you know what, forget her, let's go for a beer, or, you know. You know, he didn't have any of that, and it can be quite a difficult place to be. And I think if you're not rooted, then it can send your mind in all kinds of directions, like it did with Elijah. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading an article recently, and they were looking at, you know, what's the predictors of a long life or a short life? Mm-hmm. And actually, the things that we all focus on, like losing weight, eating healthily, no smoking, no drinking, well, they're at the bottom. They don't actually make much of a difference to whether you live a long life or a short life. The top two were number two in a close-knit family where you had someone to share your issues and your problems with. And number one was regular social connection. Whether it's speaking to the postman or the lady at the cashier's desk. And I think, especially in this revelation, you come into something new. In the Christian culture, new is suspicious.
Yeah.
And so you feel rejected, you feel pushed out, you lose that social connection, and it's so easy to just begin to think, well, I must be doing something wrong. You know? I'm doing something wrong. Yes, that can be demoralizing.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I think is a bit of a challenge is that when we come into a deeper revelation of the fathering of God, I think oftentimes people think you're just stating the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, of course, right? But the level in which this has actually transformed us is to a point where, you know, and when I think that's where some frustration can be. Like, it's, in one sense, it's like motherhood and apple pie. I would say that, you know, that saying that it's very common that, you know, Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. And so it's kind of like, yeah, we know that, you know, not people saying what's the big deal, but it's kind of like in the pursuit of other things that are distracting. And I think, you know, oftentimes when we really know that we're loved, it starts to change our grid and how we even look at the gospel and the kingdom and everything, right? Every other component of Christian life. And so, you know, I think sometimes, I think a frustration that I would feel is that you're in the sharing, in the communicating, you know, you're sometimes maybe not making the heart connection, right? You're saying something, but people kind of, you know, think, well, yeah, of course, I got that way back in 1972 or whatever. But it does really transform us at a different level. I remember hearing, I think it was maybe Jack Winter, talk about how, you know, sometimes he'd go to meetings and just a few people in those meetings would actually come into a deeper revelation of the fathering of God that actually transformed them. And then there's other levels, right, where you get to a place where, you know, there's only a few of all of those people who come into the revelation that, you know, maybe carry it and minister it. So I think when we start to kind of cut the pie up, you know, you slice the pie, you have the evangelical world, you have the charismatic world within the evangelical world, and then you have, you know, a stream of the Father Heart ministry. And so I think that is a bit of the struggle that, you know, often we can all have, right, is that you want to have that fellowship, you want that connection, and when people kind of make an assumption that they have something that maybe perhaps, you know, they're not walking in the same level, right, and it's being able to kind of bridge that gap or find other people with like hearts. So, yeah, I think it is a challenge for sure.
Yeah, I still find that's still the same pattern, Barry. You can minister to 50 or 60 people and three or four of them will really continue to connect with the ministry, with the revelation. But I'm not as discouraged as I was when I first began to notice that pattern, because I realized that when I first heard this revelation, I didn't connect deeply with the revelation. You know, it wasn't until I spent a week with James and Denise at the School of Ministry in Toronto that it began to impact me. You know, and so yeah, I just think, okay, well, it's not your time. Your heart's still in the preparation process. I mean, I think our hearts are always being prepared for something of the Lord, but I think there's a ground preparation that the Lord does in our hearts to receive the seed of the revelation. You know, Jesus talks about the seed of the gospel producing fruit, and some it's 10 and 30, and I think it's the same with this. I think it's just the preparation of the heart, you know. And as I look back and see how that's happened with me over a couple of decades before I actually, the seed sprouted something in my life, and a hunger and a desire to pursue it grew in me. But yeah, it can be a bit frustrating when you think, you know, I really left my wife at home for 3 weeks for this. You know, I'm just being honest, you know, it's the reality.
Yeah.
No, you know, we don't hang on to that thought, but it's a thought that often comes, you know, when things aren't going well or it's frustrating. I guess in any aspect of ministry, it's the same, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's just remembering that none of this depends upon me. Mm. None of this is my responsibility. And that's been really helpful for me, to think God doesn't actually need me to be here.
Yeah.
But I'm here because he's doing something and he asked me to come with him. And that's been really helpful for me, you know, to not to try and carry the burden of making something happen in people's lives. I did that and it was exhausting. Because I had to maintain it in their lives then as well.
I think for me, you know, I guess for my own journey, it was continually remembering and reminding myself that I'd found the pearl of great price. Because I think, you know, that's the reality, isn't it? We've found the pearl of great price. And this, it's not, it's actually, you know, we talk about it being this revelation, but it's not this revelation. It's this relationship. It's this relationship with Father where we know that he is a father to us and that we are his sons and daughters. It's that relationship. It's the pearl of great price. And I constantly, you know, 15 years ago when I was very much on my own, I constantly had to remind myself that I had the pearl of great price and I wasn't going to let it go. And I was going to hold on to it and I was going to do everything I could to feed myself on the truth. And I remember, you know, Fiona and I went to this conference in Toronto in May 2002. So that's nearly 16 years ago. And James and Denise were speaking and it just completely changed our lives. And, you know, so when I came back home a few months later, you know, you start hearing the old language again and you get back into the old routine again. And it's like, I didn't want to let go what I'd found, what I'd got hold of. And, you know, I discovered this truth that God is a father to me and I am his son. And I didn't want to let that go. And I wanted to feed it and grow in it and, you know, go deeper and deeper. And I remember contacting Jeff Scoldwell and saying, Jeff, I understand you've got James's cassette tapes, as it was then. You know, I want a copy of everything. Now, I didn't know whether there were 5 or 50, but I wanted the lot because, you know, as James often says, you don't listen to a good sermon, you drink it. And that had been my experience with listening to him was drinking life. And, you know, I wanted to do everything that I could do to drink life. And Jesus said, you know, anyone who's thirsty, let him come and drink. And, you know, I think it's very easy for us to, in our traditional history of church, it's very easy for us to hand over the state of our heart to somebody else. Mm. We kind of assume it's the pastor's responsibility or our house group's leader or, you know, it's someone else's responsibility to feed us and encourage us and build us up. But I realized, you know, 15 years ago that I had to take responsibility for my own heart. And so that's why I gave myself to feeding on this truth and revelation. And I would just encourage you guys to do the same. I got an email the other day, and you guys will be encouraged by this, but I got an email from somebody, and she said, I so enjoy listening to the archive webcast recordings. She said, I was listening to one from 2015. It's like 3 years ago. And people are dipping in and out of the archives. And, you know, I would just encourage you, if you feel like a bit lonely, a bit isolated, go and have a dig around in the archives and see what you fancy listening to. And just drink it in.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think the idea, and I know this, we do need, in a sense, God with skin on, right? Each other, we're created for that. But, you know, oftentimes when we aren't in a position where we have that necessarily really close. I mean, you know, we all have, you know, we all have wives, which are a source of real encouragement for us. So the three of us I'm talking about, but some people don't even, you know, have another person in their region. But, you know, I just think of what Jesus said, you know, that I'm not alone. You know, my Father is with me, you know, and he was bumping into this all wherever he went, right? He was a manifestation of the Father. And, you know, he was bumping into all kinds of opposition. And, you know, when he said that, you know, I always do what pleases him. And, you know, I know for me, and I shared this at the school last week that, you know, and sometimes it happens because of the, you know, in a sense, the exposure we have on the internet, we might get some unflattering remarks, you know, that, I'll put it mildly. And I don't know how you guys feel with that, whether that can rock you or not, but, you know, oftentimes, even in those times, I will go to God. If I'm hurt, if somebody said something that was hurtful, I'll just go to Papa and say, can you tell me, you know, what you think of me? Can you just reassure me right now that I'm okay? You know, and he promises to be a father to us, right? And so I think when we're alone, when we feel isolated, when we feel misunderstood, I mean, he gets that. He understands that. And as you guys have been, you talked last week about comfort, right? That he's the God of all, Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And so I think, you know, and I think, I don't know about how you guys feel, but even knowing that there's a common thread of this struggle, makes you kind of, for me at least, it makes me feel like I'm, you know, you're not losing your mind that, okay, that yeah, I just think that, you know, it is a struggle that we all can face, you know, from time to time, and it's just like it's what we do with that.
I think for me, when I'm speaking about loneliness or isolation, I really, it's something that, it doesn't stem from the absence of people, but I think it stems from being misunderstood. You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's not that Father's not loving us, it's not that we're not experiencing his love, but certainly, very much less so now, but way back, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it was very much like, am I speaking Venusian or something, Martian or something, or, because everyone is looking at me, they're telling me I'm a heretic, they're telling me I'm a backslider, they're telling me all sorts of stuff. I need to get back on course and back online, and I should be past them again, and it's just like, and it's been misunderstood. Now that made me to be much more intentional about seeking his love. So although it wasn't pleasant being misunderstood and people just, you know, avoiding you. but it did make me much more intentional about connecting my heart to love. But for me, it wasn't that there was an absence of people. There was an absence of understanding what I'd come into, what I'd experienced, what I was perceiving, what I was trying to share. And it's like you said, Barry, yeah, we've heard all this, but we don't like the way you're doing it, so it's wrong. And that was the difficulty for me. That was the biggest part that was difficult for me.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I do, and one of the things I encourage other people to do, and it's very much what you were saying, Barry, is going back to Father and saying, Father, what do you think of me? You know, and we'll quite often do this, maybe early on in a school, you know, we're having a soaking session or something, and people are just getting used to us and what we're talking about. And we'll just say to them, just take some time as we soak to say, Father, what do you think of me? And, you know, get them to have their journal or a notebook or a piece of paper and write it down. And yeah, the testimonies from that are really, really encouraging, because, you know, it's never going to be negative. It's never going to be critical. It's never going to be judgmental. It's always going to be straight from his heart to your heart. And, you know, I guess we all have discouraging things said to us and maybe misunderstandings and stuff. I mean, Barry, you know, you say you get it on the internet. Well, I think you've made it when you've arrived when you get negative stuff on the internet. See, neither John and I have ever had that. You see, we just haven't reached the level you have. And, you know, it's absolutely right. We have to go back to Father and say, Father, what is the truth? What do you think about me? And just take time to let him speak into our hearts, because, you know, Jesus must have felt very much alone. I mean, maybe, you know, way, way more alone than we ever feel. But yet he said, my Father is always with me. Mm. And he could even say that when he knew he was going to the cross. You know, he said, my Father is always with me. He will never forsake me. And he knew that even when he went through the cross, his Father would be there with him. And, you know, just on this journey, I just keep encouraging you to keep coming back to him and say, and feeding yourself on life. You know, Isaiah 55 says, come all who are thirsty, come buy without money, you know, without price, just come. And we have that privilege of just being able to come to him whenever we like.
No, I'm just saying a few of the comments there. Brian had mentioned that you know, he struggled with that sense of you know, the isolation, but now that he has a Father Heart group that he's meeting with every second week, I think, and Jeff said that as well, with that again, there's by biweekly meetings and things. And I do think that where we can find that kind of fellowship, you know, maybe like you said about Elijah, right? You know, think that you're more alone than you really are, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I'm the last one, no one's left. And so, you know, maybe there needs to be some intentionality too with that. So,
and I think we run a group in our home for about 3 years where we just gather together a group of people on a Wednesday. And it was just for that time. It was just for that season. And we always had a meal together, and then we would just share life together. And I know that's something Sue Dawkes has done. She's got a little group going in her village, and they meet over brunch. And I kind of think it's always good to have food and just gather together as family and just enjoy being together. And, you know, that's not always possible because of the geographical situation, but if you can, it's worth doing. And you don't need permission. It doesn't have to be a formal church group. You're just meeting with friends. Yeah. And just encourage one another. I mean, I know over the years, I've really like appreciated so much when John has just phoned me up and said, "Hey mate, how are you doing?" And I think, how does he know I need a phone call? And you know, I've done the same to him. I know Barry's done that to me, and you know, it's just one of those beautiful things, actually, of having family around.
So, gang, you got any in the chat? I've referred from a few of you, but are there any more, any comments that you want to actually add to it as well? Again, they were just mentioning about having coffee and cake in the mornings with friends.
Sounds good. What's your address, John?
Have you posted it? I can announce it on the webcast and see.
And then everybody who listens later will be dropping in on you every time, every day.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah. Why don't we just pray a blessing over one another, eh? For the last few minutes. And just encourage one another's hearts. And because, you know, our Father is with us all the time, you know, and we can turn to him any moment, and he is the source of life. So Father, we thank you that you never leave us. You never leave us alone. You never abandon us. You never forsake us. And Father, though sometimes we feel like we're the only person left, Father, we need the assurance of you being with us. And so, Father, we just ask that you would come and just touch our hearts afresh this evening with your love. Father, that you would draw close to each one of us, that we would know that your arms of love are around us and holding us and carrying us, and that even when we feel like we're a lonely voice, even when we feel like we're misunderstood, we can feel and know your presence with us. And so, Father, I just ask that you would take each one of us deeper into your love. That sense of being rooted and grounded in love would grow and grow and grow. And we would begin to experience and know how vast the love of God is. Father, I just ask that you would gather each one of us into your arms, and you would carry us. You would speak to us. You would tell us the truth into our hearts. Father, we would hear the truth, and the truth would set our hearts free to live as your sons and daughters. Father, come and bless us with your love. Bless us with your presence. Fill us with life. That we would be a people who are constantly seeking you and desiring you and yearning for more of your presence. That, Father, we will never forget that this is the relationship. This is about walking with you, living with you. Living with you.
Father, we thank you that you're a father to the fatherless, and you put the lonely in families. Mm-hmm. And you understand when we're feeling isolated. You understand when we're feeling misunderstood. You understand when we feel alone. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask that you would open up the eyes of our hearts to see that we aren't alone. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have brothers and sisters, but we have the indwelling Godhead living in us. Mm.
Yeah.
And anything that is rooted in a horizontal need for affirmation that is just broken in us, Father, would you bring healing to those areas? Yeah. Not that we would close our hearts and be, you know, living on an island, but Father, that we wouldn't be so hurt when people misunderstand us, when they don't really see the depth of what we are saying. And Father, we pray for love to flow within our relationships.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah.
Yeah, we would, you know, love is patient, that we would have patience with people who maybe don't quite understand. We're all on a journey. We're all being transformed from glory to glory. Every morning is a fresh opportunity to experience your mercy. So Father, I pray that as we give ourselves mercy and grace, that we would extend that mercy and grace to those around us too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Father, would you really tell us once again, even right now, as we're listening to this webcast, would you just tell us who we are?
Yeah.
What you think of us?
Yeah.
How you delight to be with us, enjoy us, and understand us like no one could ever understand us. And somehow, Father, that part of our heart that feels alone, would your comfort come? So we'd know that we are not alone, that you are always with us. Thank you, Papa.
Can I just share something briefly before I pray? I realize that just as I was praying and thinking, one of the things that created the shift in me was understanding that it's not just me and God. We can get locked into that and use it as an excuse to close our hearts to one another. And I'm still on that journey of learning to open my heart to people, but that made a huge difference. Learning to open my heart to people and let them see who I am and be a part of who I am. I'm still not great at it, but but I'm learning. And I think I just want to pray for folks who might be having difficulty in that area, where you desire that companionship, friendship, relationship, but you don't know how to open your heart to allow people to bring it to you or to ask for it. So Father, I just pray that for each of us who struggle in that area,
we lost John.
Indeed.
That was good.
Yeah, it's frozen out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so Father, we say yes and amen to John's prayer. We don't want to close our hearts off to our brothers and sisters, and I think oftentimes it's so easy for us to, in a defense mechanism, to build walls up with people don't understand us. And I just pray that your love would come, and that we'd realize that you are our defense. And I pray that you would just be able to teach us how to truly love one another as you love us.
Thank you.